Well, good afternoon and welcome to Local Matters. Our focus today is education matters in the Upper Cumberland and in some ways in the whole world. And my special guest is Dr. Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, we're delighted that you could spend some time with us. And wow, what a year. Tornadoes, COVID, pandemics. It's been for the education in general and the world in particular. It's been quite a year, hasn't it?
Most certainly, it's an understatement, I think.
Wow! So we've got a lot to talk about, and we want to focus on P-12 education and then on the College of Education out at Tennessee Tech, because there's great things happening in both places. Also, a lot of changes going on in both places. So we're sort of in the middle of school startup right now in most counties in the Upper Cumberland, most counties in the United States. Quite a change for P-12 education this year, isn't it?
Most certainly. I'm not sure we could have imagined this.
I don't think we could have. I agree. What do you think, as a teacher, what do you think the teachers are going through at this point?
Oh, my gosh. I think they have some big challenges that they've already addressed, but I think it's one of those things that will continue to roll out as the school year goes on. I think one of the biggest challenges is teaching all of the different modalities simultaneously and or perhaps even serving as the teacher for an entire grade at your school in order to meet the needs of the students and their families. So virtual options are quite common right now, and we keep hearing a lot about that. But on-ground instruction is also taking shape in a variety of modalities. So they might be on 2 days and off 2 days, or on 1 day and off a day. And teachers and school administrators have never worked harder to ensure high-quality education for their students. Students are eating lunch in their classrooms, so teachers aren't getting their own lunch or even planning periods. It's going to be a busy year, but we have great teachers who are committed to student success. Please, if you know a teacher, thank them for their
thank
hard work.
Thank them, absolutely. And they haven't prepared for this, have they? I mean, this isn't part of the training program that they went through.
No, it is not. If you want somebody to plan something and plan it well, ask a teacher. But none of us were prepared for something like this. So it's taken some serious out-of-the-box thinking and guidance from the districts. There were state-level sort of guidelines, but they really left it up to the local districts. So you have a lot of directors of schools and their staff really trying to figure this out. So even in one district, it might look different from school to school, depending on the students and the needs of the families.
And you said in some cases, things are entirely virtual at this point, mm-hmm. Meaning no students are in class in the school itself. And in other cases, they may be in the school, but virtual, mm-hmm. Attending a class that's being directed somewhere else. They could be on 2 days a week and off three. They could be on part of a day and off the rest of the day. There are so many mixes. I know from the Tennessee Department of Education's perspective and the state board's perspective, it's got to be a zoo right now to keep up with everything.
Yep. If you can imagine it, it's happening. So they're just really being creative and trying their absolute best to meet the needs of the students and their families.
And let's talk while we're talking about the great job that teachers are doing in a really uncertain environment. Let's talk about the kids. The kids have never trained for this either, although they may have trained more than a teacher has. They've had screens in their hands, maybe more.
Yes. I think for the students, just sustaining focus, right, given the variety of ways that instruction's getting rolled out this year. So I know it's hard for me to sit and stare at a screen for an extended period of time, let alone if you're a younger person with a shorter attention span. And if you haven't been in a school in a while, students don't just sit in a chair in one classroom all day long. There's a lot of moving around and group work, experiential learning, changing classrooms, all kinds of things happening. So that's what they're accustomed to. So they'll be challenged to staying in one classroom at one desk all day, right? Even eating their lunch at their desk.
And wearing a mask and social distancing.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's just, and not hugging your teacher or your fellow classmate.
Yep, I saw a great meme the other day and it said, if you don't think kids will lick their hands and chase each other around yelling COVID, 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 you don't know kids.
I hadn't seen that, but I relate to it.
Yep. So I think the technology could be an issue, but I think the students are so smart and resilient and tech savvy, more so than some of the adults. So again, I think families, teachers, and administrators are all doing their very best to make the school year work.
It's going to be a challenge, and everybody's just going to have to have a lot of patience this year and a lot of fortitude to make it through, but we will make it through. And let's talk about parents. Some of them have left their job to stay home with their children or have juggled all kinds of things to create a new home learning environment. That's got to be challenging, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the families with these kids in the schools, nobody expects to homeschool your children if you're not intentionally homeschooling, right?
Right.
So you have parents and other family members who are working from home, trying to get their job done. At the same time, they're almost serving as a teacher's assistant or aide, and especially if there's technology involved and troubleshooting that. And it's taking a lot of energy to wear all of these different hats on any given day. And again, if you're either working from home yourself, or perhaps you've had to give up a job in order to stay home because you don't have that flexibility, it's a real challenge. So again, I think the schools are trying to really work with families and make sure that they have adequate support in order to help their kids, whether they're in the schools or at home learning virtually. So like you said, we will get through this.
We will. It'll be a journey, and a journey we all take, and we applaud everyone who's trying their part, whether they are the teacher or the administrator or the parent that's supporting. And maybe most of all, we applaud these kids that are great students who are going through this this challenging time. Well, this is Local Matters. We're talking to Lisa Zazgamny, the dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech. And we want to shift gears just a minute. And if you would speculate just a little bit about how you think the experiences of this pandemic will change the way universities prepare educators for future classrooms.
That is a great question. I really hope that educator preparation programs, we call them EPPs for short. I really hope that EPPs take this opportunity to examine our practices and see what works. We've been granted tremendous flexibility from the State Board of Education and the State Department of Education. We couldn't be more appreciative of their help and support in navigating these times. For example, we've been given extensions for praxis testing for our teacher candidates. If the data shows that candidates are actually effective teachers without evidence from praxis testing, then perhaps we could pursue alternative assessments that are more equitable. This is a conversation that's happening on a national level, and I'm lucky to be part of a group that is having this conversation. EPPs, Educator Preparation Programs, are assessed by CAEP, which is our accrediting body. We're also assessed annually by the State Department of Education annual report, and another assessment by the State Board of Education report card. And then there are these independent bodies that try to evaluate EPPs, albeit a little haphazardly. So perhaps we could leverage some of these existing assessments instead of adding on yet another for-profit assessment that perpetuates inequities for teacher candidates. So I really hope we get to get the chance to dive into the data that we get about this past spring semester and this school year to see that we can, you know, flesh out what really does work.
And we really are collecting data and experiences that are once in a lifetime kinds of incidents. We've not gone through this before. Mm-mm. In the United States or anywhere else in the world.
Nope. The idea that, you know, we have all of these standardized assessments that students experience, P-12 schools and on, And if you wanted to be a licensed teacher, then you get to experience more of these standardized assessments. And we found, I mean, research after research after research shows that there's a lot of inequity in some of these tests and Praxis in particular. But now, because testing sites were closed this spring, ETS moved so that there are opportunities for students to take these tests at home. You know, so it'll be really interesting to see how those results compare to the standardized testing that happens in testing centers. We know that the results took longer to get back and that the students couldn't see, or the teacher candidates couldn't see their scores immediately like they can in the testing centers. But I mean, just data like that, or if we have emergency situations where they let a teacher in a class, a teacher candidate in a classroom where they haven't been able to finish up those assessments on the back end of their academic program, how effective are those teachers? And
right.
if we find that they are effective, then we really need to think through some of these things that we're doing.
Yeah, the whole area of licensure may change. Certainly from an administrator's perspective at the K-12 level, they've got to be thinking about that future stream of teachers coming in and what it is that they're going to have, because they're coming from a different environment than the ones that have been out so far. So it is a brave new world in many ways.
It sure is. And we're working closely with our directors of schools and their teams to make sure that we're meeting their needs, and we're better together. We can only get through this working really closely with each other and listening to each other and trying to provide those supports. So we're here, P12 schools.
Give us a call, or at least get online with us or
yep,
something.
Most certainly.
Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking to Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. And Lisa, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk about fall startup at Tech and about some of the great programs that are offered in the College of Ed. We will take a quick break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking about education matters today, and we're talking with Lisa Zagumny, the Dean of the College of Education at Tennessee Tech University. And we've been talking about K-12 education, or P-12. And now, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about higher ed and about fall startup at Tech. There are big changes in the air there too, right?
It has been a whirlwind of a year. It's hard to believe that it's the end of August and classes are starting. We've been working really hard all summer long to get campus ready for students to return. If you're on campus, you'll notice that buildings have signage to help with pedestrian flow and social distancing. Classrooms have been rearranged to ensure proper distancing between students, and they've been equipped with air purifiers. We have multiple hand sanitizer stations that have been placed in each building. Everyone is required to wear a mask while in buildings, and faculty and department chairs have really gone above and beyond this summer getting courses ready for students. We have three different instructional modalities, and the university as a whole is pretty close to a third of in each. So we have Tech Enhanced, which is predominantly in-person with some online components.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tech Flex, which is highly flexible mix of online and in-person components. And then we have Tech Direct, which is predominantly online, but with a few in-person components. So at about a third each of those different modalities, we're ready to get this year started. We're ready for a great school year, and we're excited to welcome everyone back, whether in person or online.
And from what I've heard, the freshman class application stream is actually up. And so students are going to have to confront this new environment, too. None of these three environments at Tech are new to Tech. We've had online education for a long time and mixed media or hybrid education. So, and certainly the in-classroom education is what Tech is known for. Well, it's going to be an exciting fall, and maybe in December or January, we'll get you back again to talk about, now that we've seen it, let's see how the horses ran, because it is going to be different. Well, let's talk a little bit about the College of Education. This is one of the largest colleges at the university, and a lot of folks probably don't think about it, but throughout the Upper Cumberland, there are thousands of teachers who have gone through Tennessee Tech. So it is without a doubt the largest supplier of teachers in the K-12 system in the Upper Cumberland. So talk a little bit about the mission of the College of Education, and then we'll talk about some of your programs.
Awesome. I'd be happy to. Okay, our formal mission for the College of Education is to provide unique and rigorous learner-centered academic experiences for our students to achieve their highest potential as lifelong learners, professionals, and citizens. With three very distinct departments, we have counseling and psychology, curriculum and instruction, and exercise science, we do more than prepare future teachers. We prepare our students to be successful in their chosen profession, successful in graduate school, and passionate contributors to their communities. But to your point, we do prepare more teachers in Tennessee than any other education preparation provider, and more districts hire our teacher candidates than any other education preparation provider.
That's a pretty significant statement. More teachers in Tennessee than any other education provider.
Yep.
That is a powerful statement about the impact of this college. Well, talk about your departments and what they do. So what does a student who comes into teacher prep in one of these departments experience?
Yep. We have, for if you're going to be an educator, if you come into curriculum and instruction or exercise science, you will meet your advisor. When you come to orientation, you will meet the director of teacher education when you come to orientation, and we will set you on a path for success at orientation. So you know what your 4 years of your program of study look like. You'll get to meet some of your faculty members. There are benchmarks that we track to help ensure your success. So we want you to know up front exactly what you're getting into. We offer every endorsement area available in the state of Tennessee except business education. And I don't know why we don't offer business education, but that's historic.
And we did historically back in the, up till the 70s, I think.
So, you know, I don't know what that's about, but we have a very large program. We have, for undergraduates, we also have a psychology major, which is a growing major at the moment. You can imagine that there are more and more people who are interested in pursuing psychology. So our numbers are up there. Exercise science is also a field that's just growing by leaps and bounds. People are very interested in those pre-professional programs like pre-occupational therapy and pre-physical therapy. And we just have a lot of opportunities in these departments to help people achieve their success. We're really very service-oriented. I mean, that's the whole point behind the College of Education, is helping people meet their needs, albeit slightly differently. So we have a really diverse program. Our name is education, but we're all about human services.
Yeah, there is so much to see and to talk about in the College of Education. And it is not all undergraduate education. Many teachers go out right after the undergraduate degree, but you also offer a very large graduate school, don't you?
We sure do. I am happy to report that as of this past Friday, the College of Education has the highest graduate enrollment at Tech. With grad enrollment at 519 students, the College of Education makes up 37.6 of the total graduate enrollment at Tech.
Wow.
The College of Business, your home college, comes in second at 19.5%. So way to go, Dean Tom Payne and the College of Business team. We come in second with undergraduate enrollment at 16.1%, with the College of Engineering at 28.7%.
Absolutely, yes.
So kudos to Dean Slater and his team.
Well, yeah, tell us about some of the graduate programs. They're organized by department in some sense, but in other senses, they broaden beyond a department.
Yep, we're messy. We're messy and we like it. And we can help anybody maneuver those graduate programs if they have questions. We have two PhD programs now. We have a PhD in exceptional learning, which crosses departments with the different concentrations. And then we now have we're approved to offer this fall, a PhD in counseling and supervision, which is housing, counseling, and psychology. So it one within a department and one across departments. We have, and our students don't work with just those departments, right? We do a lot of interdisciplinary work across campus. So we have students who are working with faculty and students in engineering and faculty and students in arts and sciences. I mean, it really just runs across the board. So we've got a lot of interdisciplinary work going on that our students can really help out in. For example, our PhD in exceptional learning has an emphasis on equity and inclusion and addressing historically marginalized students and families. So context plays a big part of what they do. So it might be related to some sort of identity marker like gender and addressing fourth wave feminism and social media, or a cultural context like 20th century roots music shaping identities. We even have a student researching education in post-disaster Haiti, which may come into play with our hurricane season this year.
It may, yes.
So while they're in their respective programs of study, they work with faculty and students across campus on a variety of projects. Our students who are pursuing program planning and evaluation, they are highly sought after for their assessment and evaluation skills. So we've got a student currently working with a team from Arts and Sciences and Engineering on evaluating an initiative those two faculty members are putting forward. The students are also very involved with student organizations that are really geared towards equity and inclusion, and we have a lot of student organizations on campus that are geared towards those ideals. So our PhD students are also actively publishing in high quality journals. I'm just continually impressed by their work, the graduate students and the faculty that they're working with. So they're really very busy people, despite all of everything else that's going on.
And what do the PhD students do with their degree? They go a variety of places.
They sure do.
Talk about that.
Oh my gosh. We have PhD students all over the place. And not just in Tennessee or the Southeast or the United States. Some of them are international now. The majority go on to become faculty members in some sort of academic setting. But we have a lot of folks who've chosen to pursue administration in higher ed. And I think part of it is that program planning and evaluation arm that they can go and do assessment for universities. They can do assessment for departments and units and accreditation stuff.
So they can work for the State Board of Education or the State Department of Education.
Most certainly. We have PhD students who are working for the State Department of Education. And we have really great alumni from our PhD program working at Tech across the university.
We do.
Some in the College of Graduate Studies, some in, institutional effectiveness. I mean, they're all over the place.
It is amazing. And some of my former students in the business school went on to get the PhD in education. Some are working at Tech. Some are working at Drexel University in Pennsylvania and other places all around. So there really are a variety of opportunities. You are launching all kinds of great new things, And I know you are personally entering the national stage in some things, too, in terms of your role as dean here at Tech. And we thank you for your leadership. And I thank you for being part of the program today. It's been an honor to have you.